Welcome, Sailorville Church. We are happy to have you be joining us on the podcast here. I'm sitting across the table from Jason Jackson, who preached this last Sunday. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks, Curtis. You are Curtis Johnson, our young adult director.
My name is Curtis, yeah. I am the YA director here at Sailorville Church and excited to be with you today.
And a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We go way back. Before I even knew
what your name was. Yeah.
I got you confused with so many people when we first moved here.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, no. And some people think we're brothers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's funny how that turned on itself, because originally it was someone else that everyone thought we were twins, and then now everyone thinks we're twins. And
we are good-looking guys,
I will walk down the hallway, and people will call me Jason, and people will call you Curtis.
I know. It happens. It's always an honor for me. I'm not sure it's great for you, though.
No, it is. I'm used to it now. Or people call your kid mine.
Yeah, that's true.
All the things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All the things. Well, we get to have a conversation about mercy today, real quick. I'm shocked that they let me on this podcast. Normally, they don't let me out of the YA world, but here we are. So we're going to try and not mess this up.
We're trying to introduce you to the rest of the world. You know, this is a little bit like a cameo.
So yeah. This
is what the YA world gets to experience all the time, Curtis Johnson. So for
I don't
the
even
rest
get to
you,
do the podcast anymore. We have people that do it. It's not. It's like I lost all the fun things. I really love having these conversations.
But this is a privilege for me.
Oh, it's a privilege for me. Well, I mean, how often do I get to, yeah, whatever.
We talk all the time, but we're not. We're not usually...
There's probably a reason it's never recorded.
I was just going to say, there's a reason why we don't record our conversations.
Yeah.
And this one's out there for everybody.
A few fries short of a happy meal up there on top for me. Not the smartest guy in the room, but...
Yeah, well, you're in good company. Or at least
okay,
company.
So talk to us about mercy. I mean, it would be fun for me even just to hear what it was like preparing for this, maybe. I don't know if you get asked that a lot, but...
Yeah. Yeah, so we're in this series on the Beatitudes, which itself is a really, really great series. We probably have listeners that are very familiar with the term beatitude or with this concept of, you know, blessed are those who, whatever, and we might even have... gotten a few of them memorized over the years, or maybe it's brand new to people that are listening or people that are part of our Sailorville church family.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of the most well-known passages of scripture, even to the world that might not read the Bible a lot, they kind of will recognize when someone starts reading through, oh, I've heard that maybe as a kid, or maybe even on TV, or maybe in some kind of literature somewhere, but not really well understood. So it's one of those passages that is maybe well known, but not understood very well. And so for me to be able to dig into, especially the Beatitude that I was working with, it was really exciting. And as God does when he gives you the opportunity to have a conversation intentionally or to teach or to preach or to, you know, do anything public like that, he teaches you what he wants you to teach other people first. And I think that's a really good way for communicators to understand their role in communicating the truth and communicating the word of God, at least in our setting. So for me, for instance, when I have the opportunity to preach every once in a while, it's almost always on something that I didn't realize I was not great at or that I really needed. Mm-hmm. And so this is no exception. When it comes to mercy, I didn't realize how deficient I was in accepting mercy or understanding how much mercy that I've been given, and then in response, how I share or show that mercy to other people. So my preparation process was very personal, and the application has been pretty personal as well.
That's pretty cool. I think for me personally, like I did have to, the questions that you brought to the table were really, really good. Just at the end of the message, they were very simple, but very, very practical. You know, do we see people the way that Jesus does? Obviously, we know the greatest extension of mercy that we've ever seen in our life that we get to be a part of is the gospel.
Yeah.
And has that informed the way that I see people through eyes of mercy? Mm-hmm. And then also just learning what it is to sacrifice, like that was one of the second points was am I willing to actually love, maybe a different way to say it is love till it hurts, you know, like,
yeah.
And I, and then lastly, I don't want to skip the last one, but, do you recognize your desperate need for God's mercy, which mm-hmm. also for the unbeliever is, you know, such an invitation into such a bigger story mm-hmm. Of a much greater mercy that we could ever extend to, as humans. But I did also think a lot about the gift of mercy and what that looks like. I actually had written down in my notes Romans 12, right, where mm-hmm. Talks about, you know, if your gift is service, serve. The one who teaches, teach. The one who exhorts, exhorts. Blah, 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 blah. The one who's generous, you know, give with zeal. But the one who does acts of mercy, do it cheerfully. Mm-hmm. And so there's also this idea that people are gifted with mercy. And I think that I am probably one of those people.
Yeah, I agree.
I think. Mm-hmm. But talk to us, like, what is the difference between the general obedience of a believer? Mm-hmm. Because I think you talked in a way on Sunday that was more broad than maybe the gift.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say? And yeah. How would you distinguish those two?
Yeah, really good question. So our statement, our verse, Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 7, blessed or I kept saying blessed, you know, it's hard for me to get out of that King James, and I don't really know the right way to say it, but let's say blessed. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive or obtain mercy, some versions say. So you've got the statement that's not a promise, but it's more of a principle. Mm. Blessed are those who show mercy, mm-hmm. they will receive mercy. So you're asking a great question. This is a general principle, a general, in a sense, a command or a characteristic to follow or to obtain mercy. So we are supposed to show mercy no matter who we are. That's what Jesus is saying. As kingdom citizens, as people who serve or live under the rule or reign of King Jesus now and then in the future forever, we are to be mercy people. But there are some, you mentioned giftedness, you know, so we would talk about spiritual giftedness in right. Romans 12, 1 mm-hmm. Corinthians 12, mm-hmm. Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, those types mm-hmm. of passages that God has, in a very special way, divinely, we sometimes say divinely enabled people to do things a little bit more or better or more naturally than other people. So I agree. I would say you are one of those believers that's been gifted with mercy. You are maybe, because of the gospel, mm-hmm. more tended towards being merciful than other people. But as we say with evangelism or hospitality or you know, generosity or any of those types of things, mm-hmm. we're all supposed to do those things. It's just that God has gifted certain people with some of those things a little bit more mm-hmm. divinely, naturally than other people. So if you're not being merciful as someone's gifted in mercy, then the church isn't getting what the church needs. If my giftedness is, let's say, hospitality or whatever, and I'm not living that gift out, if I'm not being hospitable, helping mm-hmm. strangers feel welcome in my life and in my home, mm-hmm. then the church and the world are not getting what God has intended the church to get. That's how we build up the body of Christ and how mm-hmm. other people see, people outside the church see the gospel at work. So we're all supposed to be merciful. But mm-hmm. some are divinely enabled to do it a little bit more or better than, or even more naturally than others. That's not an excuse for the rest of us that aren't merciful. Mm-hmm. It just means that I get to look at you as somebody that is gifted maybe mm-hmm. in mercy and say, okay, there's things that Curtis is doing that I can learn from, that I can do better at, mm-hmm. and you can be an example of that. So that I, someone that's not gifted in mercy, can also be an example to other people. Mm-hmm.
So every believer should be asking the question, though, am I merciful or a mercy, like, less?
Yeah,
or whatever.
Merciful, mercy less.
Yeah. Mercy less. Like, I do think that's important because it can be easy. When we get into the spiritual gifting conversation, it's easy to just write it off and be like, well, that's
not. Well, we use it as an excuse,
right? That's not my gift. Like, yeah.
I'm not God didn't gift me as an evangelist, so I don't have to do that, or I'm not good at it, so. So yeah, like you said, I write it off or I use it as an excuse, but all of these things are commands for all of us to follow. We're all supposed to, you know, share Christ. We're all supposed to preach the gospel. We're all supposed to be merciful. We're all supposed to be hospitable. Mm.
It's so intricate into the DNA of the gospel that it's like every believer walking around is living proof of what the mercy of God can do. Mm-hmm. And so it's so important to be living that out, because it's through the way that we love the people around us that I think people see the mercy of God in flesh, hands and feet.
Yeah, scripture never gives people that are not gifted in a certain area an excuse or a way out of not doing that thing, mm-hmm. right? So we're all supposed to give, even though we might not be gifted in giving. We're all supposed to be merciful, even though that might not be our spiritual giftedness. Yeah. And that's what this message is about, is no matter who you are, if you're a believer, you get to be merciful.
Yeah,
because that's what Christians do. That's what citizens of Christ's community do.
I think to the person who is sitting there, though, now saying, like, do I have the gift of mercy? I thought about it a little bit last night, and I think just quickly, like, a merciful person in general, these are really high level, and I stole them off of something, but they have, like, a really good perspective on, like, they're looking at people, and I would say in general, like, I'm looking for the good in people, and like, what can I praise, what can I say yay, what can I how can I encourage, how can I be that encouragement to somebody. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I think there's a spiritual thermometer in a merciful person that can perceive and assess. Also, I'm a nurse, and so I think there's a perception in me that I am able to just evaluate, is a good word, of and a merciful person normally can walk up to somebody and be like, something is just really good here. Like, you're seeing the good, but you're also seeing that spiritual thermometer of, like, something is off. And can I help? Can I pray? They're attracted to the hurting. I think that for me is classic, where I am opening my home and loving people and listening to people who I would say probably are, if they're not at rock bottom, they're like a step away from it. And that's my jam.
And that is your jam. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have this conversation with you, because I know that about you. Mm-hmm. People that are gifted in mercy naturally run towards messiness or mm-hmm. needs. They don't have to be stretched to see the needs in others and to say, well, how can I help be part of meeting that need? Not that I have to meet it, but how can I help? Mm-hmm. When you see a car accident, I almost saw a car accident this morning on my way into work. And my first thought is, oh my goodness, would I even stop and help?
No, my word.
But Curtis,
I have a story.
Curtis would not even think that. Curtis would immediately go into action.
It's only happened once to me, but it was the worst thing. And this is where mercy.
And you jumped right in.
This is where mercy gets really interesting, because I think there are strengths and there are very, very big weaknesses in the type of personality that is gifted with. And I am a huge people pleaser. But yeah, I saw this accident downtown a few years ago. I was still working at the hospital at Unity Point, and on my way home from work late at night, and I stopped because that's what I should do. And the person was not happy that I stopped. She was in shock and had a small baby. The baby was bleeding like crazy. And I was in the car that was crunched up and trying to help her get the baby out. And we did get the baby out safely, but I could not assess what was going on. And she just yelled and screamed at me and was like, don't touch my baby. And I'm like, let me call 911. This baby needs an ambulance, needs to get to the hospital. It's not safe for you to go alone. And she wouldn't listen to me, but it's fine. She jumped.
See, I think I'd be out.
She jumped in some random person's car. And I was like, what is going on right now? But yeah.
Okay, so what about the person that's not gifted in mercy? What about the, you know, because you are gifted in this. There mm-hmm. are several people that are. We can think of names even in, mm-hmm. as a part of our Sailor of Faith family, people that really, run to the mess. They really get their hands dirty. They love meeting the needs of other people in a very tangible, practical way. That's mm-hmm. showing the gospel to people. So what if you're not gifted? What if this is difficult for you? Mm. And you know it's not an excuse, mm-hmm. but how do we become more merciful? How do these questions or this, you know, just this brief statement, blessed are the merciful, how does that help people like the rest of us?
Yeah. I think even for like for me, it all has to come through the Holy Spirit's power. Mm-hmm. And even though I have the gift, doesn't mean it's my own strength. And I think, but that's a weakness that I have, is that I could exercise whatever in my own strength. And so it's important, I think, to pray, God, first, make me merciful. Help me see, because the merciful person is first sees, but is also motivated. I think those things go hand in hand. I don't just see the problems, but I want to step into the problems.
Yeah.
And so you pray specific bold prayers of God, give me people, help me see, have eyes to see. And again, we have the greatest example of someone who of Jesus coming so close to us, living here on earth, moving into the mess, right? Coming to a world full of sin, and just that example of how incredibly close that the Lord has given us Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Can you get closer than the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit? Like, we have to start praying, God, help me see, mm-hmm. and move, mm-hmm. because I think the church can get a bad rap for maybe seeing all the things and having a talking the talk without actually doing,
yeah,
and stepping into the community. But yeah. To answer your question, like, simply, I think if we're not praying and we're not asking the Lord for any of this or any fruit of the Spirit to grow, it's probably man-made, yeah. manufactured. And so to the merciless person who are saying, I'm struggling with it, I would say get on your knees and start praying.
And maybe even ask God what you just said, help me to see people the way Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that is that's like a heart seeing. That's
yeah.
not just a physical seeing. I see people, but I don't often see the need behind the person. I might even stop at the sin. I might look at somebody and say, ugh, look at there. I'm not sure I want to be around that person, or mm-hmm. look how sinful they are. I'm going to, you know, duck into the nearest room, or they're annoying, or they sort of drive me crazy, or I don't have time to meet that. That's the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10 that we talked mm-hmm. about even on Sunday, right? He, to your point, he saw, but he didn't just see and walk around like the Levite and the priest did. They walked around. They saw him, but they weren't motivated to meet the need like the Good Samaritan was. So they're seeing, mm-hmm. and then there's moving towards meeting the need. Yeah.
We just, our small group last 2 weeks ago, we just went to a homeless shelter and fed them dinner downtown Des Moines. And there's something even about just making the choice to do something like that. I know it seems silly and maybe not that profound, but something that would be outside of your normal, everyday, Ankeny, crazy life that we are blessed with, to throw you into an environment of a reality that is completely different and that is hungry, hungry, hungry for mercy. Someone who is willing to listen, someone who is to just, tangibly willing to put food on a plate, because that's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff like that will really, like missions trips, things like that, third world stuff, has really rocked my world. And even working at the hospital, there's a demographic there that is just completely different than what we're used to here on the Sayreville campus.
So you're saying that even if you're not gifted in mercy, there are things you can do that will help strengthen that mercy
yeah.
muscle, that will help you learn to see people through the eyes of Jesus. What about at home? What about with my family, my wife, my kids, my neighbors, my immediate context? How do we learn that
mm-hmm.
before we even go to the homeless shelter or before we go on a missions mm-hmm. trip? What if my wife has really ticked me off, or my kids just refuse to obey, or
or you have an annoying roommate.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That is hard to live with.
Yeah.
If you're single. I think this is almost harder.
And I agree.
And it becomes way more about our words and way more about communication and acts of service than anything else. I think mercy at home is mostly probably through our words and how we choose to speak to one another. And
which comes out of our heart, our mm-hmm. motivation, right? So, even what you're saying about seeing people and then being motivated to move. That's the same thing at home, probably.
But then your second point is sacrifice. So what? Okay, yeah. So like, how at home am I choosing to sacrifice with my words, but also my actions? Yep. Like, yep. I think there's a guard that comes down at home with right. all of us, where we become very entitled to something that I don't think we're actually promised. Like, that we're not actually, like, we get home and we just think, I deserve this, 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 and this, right?
We can be merciful outside of home, but as soon as we walk in the doors, we become selfish.
It's our safe space, and like, this is my jam, and so don't ruin my groove, you know, like
emperor's. I don't have to be on at home. So
don't
now
be, don't be like good. The little old man who threw off the emperor's new groove and he gets kicked out the window because he threw out, you know, like, don't mess with my space.
So, and this is harder at home.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's where you have to identify those things and the roots of them, of like, why do I think I should be able to go to my room and be alone as soon as I get home and like wind down, when maybe you have a wife and kids that need your attention?
Or sit down on the couch and watch sports.
Like, why? Like, I think it's really helpful to ask those questions of what's at the root of that? Is it for me, it's probably just pride. And I think that I deserve this. Well, Curtis, who told you deserve this? Like, no one. Or
no
I'm
one
just,
had to.
Or I would rather just not say the words. Like, actually having meaningful, merciful conversations at home probably is just as equally hard as doing something with your hands, where, especially for guys, for men, as husbands, like, I know I could say 100 things, but sometimes it's just like, that seems like work, which I know is so, like, again, and I get home and I'm like, I don't have to work. I don't have to say these things. I don't have to, you know, even... Yeah.
Well, especially if you work in a job where you're talking a lot, where there's a lot of communication, sometimes you want to come home and not, you know, just turn that off. Okay, so we sort of dabbled in this idea of forgiveness on Sunday, because forgiveness and mercy are really tied closely together. Forgiveness, compassion, kindness, mercy. Let's unpack that a little bit. What if someone's done something to hurt us and we don't feel like forgiving them? Is there any leeway in Scripture for... Well, you don't have to forgive them until they say a certain thing, or until a certain time has gone by, or until they have proven that, you know, .. It's really difficult, right?
This
because
is
this
really
is where
hard.
The rubber meets the road.
And to the person that's listening, that's here, I think that I just, my heart, like, hurts for you.
Yeah. See, that's your mercy coming out.
Yeah. Because...
Because my heart doesn't hurt for those types of people. I want to say, just forgive, all right? Which, you know, probably somewhere in the middle is where we should land.
Yeah, it's just so not black and white, you know, to the person who is processing things. I have current situations in my life where people have gone haywire, crazy, hurtful, wrong, sinned, like, all of it is all tied into one. And you just sit there and you look at the mess and you're like, I don't even know which way is up. I know what I should be doing, but if I say it this way, like, is it going to affect this? Is this relationship going to be it? You just get into this vicious cycle of, but, you know, one thing that I thought of with forgiveness is something that Lucas Baer always says, and he uses this term of being a revelation of Jesus. And if we are to be students of Jesus, then we will become revelations of Jesus in the way that we live. And I do think forgiveness extended is one of the greatest ways that we can show mercy, but also that we can show Jesus as a whole to the people around us. And so there are no caveats to forgiveness. Even repentance is not on the other side. If you're sitting
not
there,
a prerequisite for forgiveness,
right? Like, well, that person needs to say I'm sorry first.
Yeah.
Since when?
You know, it's interesting. So you're talking about being more like Jesus. I think when you look at Christ's life, there are several times when he uses that word forgiveness, and actually on the cross, there's two different times that I can think of where he extends what we might call forgiveness to people that the world would say don't deserve it. One of them is he looks at the entire crowd of soldiers and disciples you know, onlookers and people that didn't know him or whatever, but that they're all people that have put him on the cross in one way or another, whether they know it or not, because of their sin, whether they physically nailed him to the cross or just their sin put him on the cross. And he in a prayer to his Father, to God, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." So there's a couple things there, I think. Number one, they didn't ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
So Jesus doesn't forgive them based on their repenting to him. In fact, they did the opposite of ask forgiveness. They put him on the cross. So they intentionally hurt him, and he's choosing to forgive. In fact, he says they don't even know what they're doing, and so I'm going to forgive them. So forgiveness in that instance, I think if we're going to be more like Jesus, doesn't depend on someone groveling or even repenting or meeting a certain level of requirements that we have for them. It's just what Jesus did. And then the other example on the cross is, of course, the thief on the cross who says, "Hey, I believe in you," basically. And Jesus says, "Okay, you'll be with me today in paradise." The thief doesn't earn that forgiveness, so to speak. He doesn't. There's no timeline there. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to say specific words. He doesn't have to do specific actions to earn that forgiveness. In a gospel-centered kind of way, Jesus just says, "Yeah, you believe in me, you'll be with me in paradise." There's no earning Christ's forgiveness there. I think if we go down this road of earning someone's forgiveness, then the gospel becomes really muddy. In fact, it's not even the gospel, because if our relationship to mercy and forgiveness is based on the gospel, then when we recognize that we can't earn salvation, then that really does play a huge part in how we react to people when they hurt us.
Yeah.
So I forgive someone who's hurt me, just like God in Christ, Ephesians 4, has forgiven me who hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't wait for me to meet a certain level of requirement or earn his forgiveness. He forgave me before I was even born.
Mm-hmm.
He knew my sins were going to put Christ on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I was saved at 5 or 95 or somewhere in between, it was my sins that put him on the cross. And Jesus looks at me and says, "Father, forgive him." He didn't even know what he was doing.
It's beautiful.
And we, as humans, find it difficult to do that to other humans. So I agree with what you're saying. If we're going to be a revelation of Jesus, or if we're going to be more like Jesus, then maybe we need to lean into this idea of forgiving people without them having to earn it first.
Yeah. Which...
it's so hard, though.
It's so difficult, and there's so many things represented in our church that are so hard. And you know, you may have been, you go to the extreme. There may be abuse in your story. There may be someone's like all but stolen your reputation from you by the things that they have said. A family, friends, I just want to say that we are here to help you work through those things. And if the Holy Spirit is stirring in you the desire to reconcile, we want to be here to listen. Obviously, we can't do that for you. We can't actually obey, because at this point it becomes a matter of obedience, I think.
Yeah, but you're going down a road that I think is really valuable. Nobody is saying you have to stay in a situation where you're not safe or where you're constantly being hurt. Yeah. That's not what forgiveness means. We often say, the Bible doesn't say forgive and forget, right? So sometimes we misunderstand that. That's not a biblical statement. And so if you're hearing people say forgive and forget, that's not something that we would say comes from Scripture. In fact, we would say the opposite, right? In our small group, you talked about your group a couple of minutes ago, just this last week, someone said, you know, there's a difference between forgiving someone and then completely forgiving them and then completely trusting them.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good distinction. And maybe there's a better way to say that, but in my mind right now, I just want people that have been very, very hurt, like you just mentioned. Nobody here is saying that you need to completely open up your life and trust those people that have hurt you, or continue to allow yourself to be hurt. That's not what Scripture is saying here. Scripture is saying you don't have to wait until you feel like forgiving someone to forgive them. The command is to forgive.
Yeah.
You know, if you come to the temple, you go to make your sacrifice. Mark says, and you're about ready to pray, and you realize you need to forgive somebody. Go and forgive them, and then come back to make your act of worship. Otherwise, God may not hear your prayers the way He would if you didn't. So there's a command there to pray to forgive, but there's no command to trust someone the way you did. There's broken relationships, and sometimes that means that you're never going to trust somebody again. That's okay. So I think we confuse the matter when we say, I don't have to forgive them right away, or I don't have to forgive them until I feel like it. That's not a biblical statement. You don't have to trust them right away, and you don't have to put yourself back into that immediate relationship again like you were before. Mm-hmm. That's okay. But you do have to forgive. There's a timeline on trust. There's no timeline on forgiveness.
Yeah, and practical trust is boundaries, I think, is a word that we could use out loud to help people understand what we mean by that. And as a merciful person, I would say I struggle with healthy boundaries with people because I am naturally drawn to let... And boundaries is a really hot topic right now, I would think. There's a lot of new books out there, and... Yep. I don't want to get too much into it, but like as a merciful person, I can quickly become a doormat to just be stomped all over.
Yep.
And I don't think that that's healthy for me. That's also not healthy. That's not being Jesus to the other person either. Yep. And so what you're saying is really, really good. And thinking through what is a healthy boundary based on where this relationship is right now is a really God-honoring question.
Yeah, and mercy doesn't mean don't tell them the truth either.
So no.
Don't hear us say, just be a doormat, just lay down and let people stomp all over you.
Never.
You do need to tell people the truth, and you do need to tell people when they've hurt you if they have.
Yeah.
But you also need to forgive them.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't enable them, and because love does the hard things, and so sometimes you have to say the hard words to people that you love. That is kindness. That is compassion. That's mercy.
And the analogy of the mercy of the court is the best analogy, right? Like you think of a leniency in a courtroom.
That's right.
Where the charges are just dropped in a moment, and you think about the relief and as I'm saying this, you can see the face of the person who was guilty and has now been set free from whatever, right? And the leniency that was extended in that moment. Like, you can extend leniency, mercy, that freedom to a person because Jesus has extended it to you, and let God take care of the rest. And that may mean this relationship doesn't look the same for a season. It may mean the relationship never looks the same.
Yeah.
Which is hard, but...
Forgiving, I think... maybe in some instances the opposite of vengeance. So when I forgive, I'm releasing my quote unquote right to get vengeance, to mete out judgment on someone. There are consequences to sin, and there are consequences to hurt, and there are consequences, you know, in relationships, but that doesn't mean that I've got to be the one that's doling out the vengeance. In fact, if we understand scripture, you know, that vengeance comes from God. God's going to take care of the people that He loves. He doesn't need me. That's what Abe said a couple weeks ago. Meekness means you don't defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm not constantly looking to defend myself or to have vengeance on people that have hurt me, you know, God will do that. That's His responsibility. I don't have to do that.
Mm.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it is. And we need to learn this, and I need to learn it. And it is all gospel-centered. You know, if you understand the kind of mercy that God has extended to you, then you, as Christ, you extend that to others. And I think that's at the heart of this, isn't it?
I do. And I think it's clear that merciful people are active people.
Yeah.
And so let's be busy. Let's be busy even this week with what God gives us to do. And the people that He has entrusted us to steward with love, like in our lives as friendships, family, all of the things. May we be busy in mercy as we talk and as we do. But it's just been really good to think through these things. Yeah. And I know that I can be better, even as a person who would say, I have the gift. Mm-hmm. I think when you say, are you merciful till it hurts? Like I can always hurt more.
It may not be mercy if it doesn't hurt.
Exactly. And you think of the ultimate hurt of the cross and you put that in perspective and I'm saying, yeah, I can hurt way more.
Yeah.
But we love you. Thank you for teaching us and walking with us.
Yeah.
And we mean it. If you need to talk, all of us here at Sailorville on staff, we would love
absolutely
reach out. And we know this is, it's an exciting topic, but it's a hard, it can be very sensitive. And so if you need a ear to listen, we would love to do that and help you work through whatever. But
yeah, of course, let us know. Yeah. Thanks, Curtis.
Yeah. Thank
you. Always good talking with you about this sort of thing.
So good. Thanks for letting me on the Big Boy Podcast. All right. We love you all. Bye.
Bye.